Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Mac, and you are listening to Mac's Musings. I'm a little discombobulated here right now. Everything just fell all over the floor, so I'm going to just try to talk for a couple seconds while I get everything in order before I call my guest. And her name is Tiffany Armstrong, and I will be dialing that in just a moment here. And hopefully everything will go all right, which obviously it's not, because it's not even letting me dial. Okay, let me try again. Sorry about this. Things already started off bad. All right, let's see if it'll work this time. Hopefully it'll start dialing. And hopefully she'll answer. Hello, Tiffany. This is Mac.
Hey.
Can you hear me okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good, because I can hear you. That means that we're on the air. So how are you doing tonight?
Perfect. I'm good. How are you?
Oh, just peachy. That's just one I like to use. So I wanted to ask you, which I actually ask all my guests, but I kind of already know the answer because we were chatting on Facebook, but for whoever might be listening, how old were you when you knew that you wanted to get into the filmmaking business? And then how did you go about making that happen?
Well, I have a unique relationship with film and theater. I started dancing and gymnastics and doing all that sort of performing since I was three. But then my parents actually separated and divorced when I was very, very young, about 3 years later when I was 6 years old. And I started doing more and more theater with my dad on the weekends as a, you know, way to spend more time with my dad. And then it just stuck. Like, I just loved being in there creating painting sets and doing all that sort of thing. And then when I was 10 years old, he did a film called Moving. It was directed by a very dear friend of ours, Matt Friedman. And watching him go through the process of filming that movie and then getting to go to the premiere and, you know, see all the glitz and glamour and do that when I was, you know, just 10 years old was really, really cool. And so it blossomed into this father-daughter duo thing that has lasted for many, many years. And it's actually funny because now my boyfriend does it with us, so it's a whole family charade.
Aw. That's sweet. So you guys do, like, movies together, or is it mainly just theater?
It really depends on the project. My dad has certainly driven 2 hours to come hop on a 48-hour set for me, and if I'm down for the weekend, I'll go help him build a set. But it's mostly film these days.
Well, that's good, though. I mean, and that's a really nice thing when you got your parents that are not only encouraging you, but doing things with you. That's got to be really great for you.
Yes, I have such a blast. We get into such trouble, but it's fun doing what we love together and just getting to meet the people that we do, getting to have the friends that we do and the opportunities that we do, and the fact that we get to share it together, especially with my dad, who I consider one of my very best friends, is just awesome.
Aw, that is so sweet. Yeah, I mean, it's always nice when you can consider your parent as one of your best friends. I never had that. Well, my mother, I never really knew her, But my dad wasn't a nice person, so I wasn't really
I wouldn't say that we've always had the best relationship. We have definitely butted heads quite a few times over the years. But if there's one person that gets me solely 100% as I am, that I can go to with no judgment and just, you know, either completely fall apart or be completely ecstatic and, you know, just be normal, it's with my dad. So I've always known no matter what, even if we're, you know, screaming, fighting, not talking to each other, he's always someone I can count on.
Aw, well, that's really sweet. Now, I know that you're working on rebranding. You're going to be going to use Tiffany Rose. And so if you could explain to the listeners why you have to do that. I kind of know, but for whoever's listening, explain to them why you're rebranding yourself.
So for quite a while, I've had this problem on IMDb where there is this other unknown producer that had credits a couple years ago from like 2005 that keeps getting populated onto my IMDb because we have the, you know, we both have the same name, Tiffany Armstrong. And so I got together with my talent agent and, you know, I spoke to my dad and I spoke to a publicist friend and did the research. And just to be able to separate my IMDb from hers, as well as have my name stand out and be able to have, you know, a 100% brand across the board. I'm switching from using my first and last name to using my first and middle name because there is no one that's named Tiffany Rose that I know of that populates within the film industry. So it's just a way to make myself more distinctive and more marketable.
Makes sense. And I like that name, actually, for an actress, Tiffany Rose. And speaking of Tiffany Rose, that's also what you have your own company. And for anybody listening, I would have to explain it because it's hard to say how it's spelled when they can't see it. It's T Rose. Yeah, it's just the letter T, Rose Designs with a Z. So explain to everybody what that business is and then how they can contact you if they want to use your business.
That is a business I created because years ago when I was a teenager getting ready to go into college, I was designing posters for theater, and I was designing business cards for my friends and things like that. And everyone started to ask me, you know, could I do them? And so as an avenue to sort of supplement what I do in the film industry, I sort of made T Rose Design so that all of my marketing materials that I create for everybody go under that name. And they can contact me on Facebook. I also have tirosedesigns.com, and they can leave me a message there. The prices vary just depending on what you need, but I wanted an avenue for those that are just starting out, you know, that can't really afford the several hundred dollar packages, to still have an avenue to go to. But still get decent-looking material and have someone to guide them through the process of marketing themselves when they're just breaking out.
That's a great idea. You were probably hoping that there was something like that around when you were starting out.
Indeed. And it is never easy breaking into any industry. So it's always good to have those avenues to go to and be able to resource and network. I just think those are very extremely valuable tools in this business.
Oh, I think so too. And it sounds like it would be helpful and be affordable, which is a big deal if you're not already in the business and you don't
exactly.
have any money. Well, you have to have some to pay for your services, but you know what I mean. You don't have a lot of money.
mm-hmm.
Okay, now I know that you work as a paralegal, if you're still doing
yes.
that. And,
yes, I am.
So,
I love my day job.
Oh, good, good. You know, that's always good when people love their jobs. Because, I'm still a nurse, but I'm disabled, so I don't actually mm-hmm. work as a nurse. I just keep my license current so that if something big happens to where they call for anybody
mm-hmm.
who has a license, I can go out and I can volunteer, and so I keep my license current. But
that is incredibly
yeah, so,
awesome of you, and I am incredibly grateful that you do that for anybody that you may help in the future or have helped in the past. It's very awesome, and you are a very good person for doing that.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, I wasn't really mentioning it to, you know, get that, but that was nice. Don't take me wrong.
No, I know, but you have to get credit where credit is due. And
well,
anyone who is
you.
A nurse or in the medical field or EMTs, police, firefighters, you guys are all brave, and I could not do what you do. So I'm very grateful that you do.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's definitely not for everybody. But the reason why I brought it up is because you had said how you love being a paralegal,
mm-hmm.
and I just love being a nurse. I actually miss being able to work because I loved what I did. And beyond
mm-hmm.
that, I was exceptionally good at it. And when I worked through an agency as a nurse, I had people calling me from all over wanting me to work for them. And you can't imagine, like, the ego you could get from that because you've got people requesting you. Luckily,
exactly.
I never got the big ego.
it's still hard sometimes
talk about
when you garner that business and build that business and start to get that credibility.
Right. Well, so tell us a little bit about being a paralegal. I mean, I know what it is, and I'm sure most of the people listening know what it is, but they may not know, like, the day-to-day things that you might do. So you could take a few minutes to talk about that if you want to.
I'm a paralegal in what's called the real estate department. So I'm in the trenches when people are buying and selling homes. And I work for an attorney's office, so I help create all the settlement documents, help buyers and sellers go through the process of submitting termite reports, and making sure the lenders have all the requirements they need, and facilitating the deal so that people can start new chapters, either move into a new home and start a new life, you know, or move on from an old one that, you know, maybe just didn't work out. But I love helping people into their next chapter of their lives. It's sort of a journey, and, you know, it's awesome to see the smiles on people's faces when they walk out of our doors with keys in their hands.
Oh, you know, I bought houses in the past, so I understand
mm-hmm.
that, where somebody would really like the smiles, because I remember the first time I bought a house, I was like, I was like on the moon. So
yeah.
I know what you're talking
about. The day-to-day can be stressful and monotonous with the paperwork and, you know, deadlines and just the capacity of what's going on that day. But it really makes our day when we get the recommendations of people referring business to us. And it really makes our day seeing the smiles and making people happy and, you know, helping people through whatever troubled times or happy times they're going through. It's just always helpful because you never know what anybody's going through.
Right. And well, even when you know people, you don't know. Cause,
exactly.
My own sister doesn't know most of the stuff I go through. Well, I have more than one sister, but the one that lives closer to me. Because I don't call her very often because she tells me to call her if I need anything because she knows that I can't get around very well and I don't have a vehicle. I can drive, but I don't have a vehicle to drive. So she'll take me to places, but most of the time I just have stuff delivered to me or I ask somebody else or I just have it delivered some way and I don't bother her. So she doesn't realize how bad it really is because I don't bother her. So that's all I was driving at. You can even know. Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I think we're getting into that day and age where you can get everything delivered, and I think it's going to be more harmful to us than it's going to do us any good. Because everybody's going to want to deliver everything and then never leave their home.
Well, it may be bad for people that, you know, like you and other people that are able to do for themselves. But when you got people like me that aren't able to do as much for themselves as they used to be able to, I was... Yeah, it's great to be able to have stuff delivered.
Right. I'm one of those people that I love interaction. I do better when I'm connecting people than I do by myself. I've just never been one to love being by myself because I just stir crazy more than I do with other people. So it just, you wonder sometimes if how much technology really controls us, though. It just boggles.
Yeah, well, I know that I like it a lot because I could talk to people all over the world. And it doesn't cost me anything more than what I'm already paying. And so I do have friends, you know, like you may be a Facebook friend, but like I said to another guest, I consider my Facebook friends my friends. And just like with quote-unquote real-life friends, some of them are better than others. I have people that I have never met that I only know from Facebook that know my address, that have my phone number, and we talk on the phone, and they send me stuff, and I send them stuff, and I've never even met them. But, you know, people used to do that back in the old days.
The age of technology is amazing.
Yeah. Oh, it is. Yeah. And I really like it. I mean, yeah, there's some problems with it, and you know, but I embraced it. As soon as all that stuff started coming out, because I'm kind of on the old side. I'm 60. So I was around when before all the stores went completely digital. And I was actually working for a video store that was one of the first to go completely computer generated, where they had everything on there, their cash registers and everything. And I was a part of that. And I was like, woo-hoo. And because I embraced it, I also was able to figure out how to do things better than what the so-called experts that went to school to get their degrees in computers and everything, they were saying it has to be done this way.
That is very true. And because, I mean, we're even talking from two different – we're even talking to each other from two different locations. On different sides of the country, because didn't you move to the West Coast, if I'm not mistaken?
No, I'm in Ohio.
Well, I'm in Virginia.
Oh,
we're
yeah.
Still in two different places.
Ohio's. yeah. And you're in LA?
No, I'm in Virginia.
Oh, Virginia. Well, so you're not that far away, but we're in two
completely different
states.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Depending on where you are, yeah, it's interesting because Aiden and I do have friends that we speak to regularly via apps and like WhatsApp and Facebook that live on the other side of the world in London and family in Ireland. I have friends all over the world. And even the advancements that they're making in the film industry is crazy. Because, I mean, they are having virtual 48-hour film festivals. Like, that is absolutely fascinating. Because normally it would be 3 days of screenings and then another day of awards, and it would all be in person, and you would go to a movie theater and actually see all these shows. But now you have hundreds of people remoting into virtual screenings and virtual award shows, and like even the MTV Awards, most of that was recorded, and all of it from all over the world. None of those people are in the same place.
Yeah.
It's just fascinating. It's crazy.
Well, it's like the old saying says, necessity is the mother of invention. So there was a necessity for it with COVID. And so that's what we're doing now, because that's the way it should be done if we don't want people to die.
This is true.
But people, yeah, I laugh, but it's not really funny. But I suppose we should start talking about your films. Not that, you know, I'm not having fun chatting, but I do want to cover those things. So now in 2012, was FBI Criminal Pursuit, that TV series documentary, now was that your first professional job, or is it just the first one that's on IMDb?
It was the first it was the first professional job that wasn't an indie thing that I was doing. It was with M2 Productions. They are located in Hampton. They were the ones that were filming it, but it showed on Discovery ID. It was the episode called Trap, Kill, Repeat, and I played a 14-year-old girl that unfortunately was raped and abused by a neighbor.
And aren't all of those things taken from true stories?
Yes. All of the FBI criminal pursuits are true stories. It's unfortunate that there are some monsters out there, and I think stories need to be told not only to inspire, but to also inform and, you know, let people know that the world is a scary place.
Yeah, it can be. I mean, there needs to be a little bit of both, because, yes, it can be scary, but it can also be a wonderful place. And humans sometimes humans can be, you know, the dregs of the universe, and then other times they can just do amazing things to help people.
Yes. Yes, I completely
agree. Did you ever see that? I just want to go a little bit off of the track for just a couple minutes. Did you ever see the movie Starman?
You'll have to remind me.
It was like from the 80s, and it's about this entity from another planet that he's just like a beam of light. And to be able to talk with talk with a human, he goes inside of this woman's remembrance book where she has a lock of her dead husband's hair. And then he uses that to clone her husband. And then that's how he talks with her.
I think I do remember
because he becomes a human. Yeah, well, it's a really great movie. But the reason why I brought it up is because there's a line in there that I still love it to this day. And when he says it, when Jeff Bridges says it, it brings tears to my eyes. But he says to the FBI guy, he says, "Do you know what I find most beautiful about you?" And the guy just, you know, he shakes his head. And he says, "You are at your best when things are worse." And that's true. When things are at their worst, yeah, that's when we all come together. I mean, usually, not all, but for the most part, that's when we all come together to help each other, is when it's really, really, really terrible. I mean, look what happened after 9/11. People from all over the world were coming here to help us. And that's beautiful. But then you have the other stuff, you know, like the rape and the, I don't even want to think about that right now. Another one of your films, well, it's a short, but that's a film, Forgotten. I think that was the same year. So, you know, talk about that one a little bit, what that was like.
That was also a that was a 48-hour film, and it was also another film where me and three other girls were kidnapped and kept in this shed and abused and tortured. And it was actually kind of difficult to keep a straight face while filming this one, just because, as many people are aware, I went from I did two 48-hour films that year, so I went from doing one set all day on Saturday and then filmed all night on Forgotten, and it was directed by a friend of mine, Nathan Liebold, and the person who played the guy that kidnapped us, Corey Evans, would just try and do, like, all these creepy things just to try and break us or, like, break our characters. Or he would do some random thing and not tell us. It would scare the crap out of us. So he was always trying to do something to break us. But it was just such a good film, and it was just such a good story that we got to put together in less than 48 hours, and it was just really good fun to be able to do that one as well.
Sounds like it might have been a blast. A couple years later, or at least a couple years later, according to IMDb, you did something called Stranded Island, and for the listeners, it's EYE. Island, and that was a short. And tell us about that one.
Yes. That was directed by a couple good friends of mine, Ernie and Heather Smith. They were doing a bigger story, and it was created by all these mini flashbacks. And I was part of one of the flashbacks and played the girlfriend of a gentleman who has is pretty much down on his luck and gave his last few buy some lottery winning tickets, and he loses. And it cuts right as he loses because he throws everything up. He throws all the tickets up in the air, and I'm just shaking my head at him. And it was just that story was very moving for me to do.
So you were doing more of, instead of like the horror, you were doing more like drama.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. You get experience doing other things besides horror. So was that okay thing to work on? Did you get to have some fun at least, where it wasn't like all work all the time?
Yeah, because Ernie and Heather are just really great people. They're really community oriented and really support their friends and take care of anyone who steps on foot of their project. So it's always a good time when you work with them.
Oh, cool. That's always a good thing to hear about and a good thing to know for anybody that might start to work with them. Now, a couple years after that, you did something, a video short called Sometimes It's a Song. So tell us about that one.
So that is a music video for an original song for Rob Williams, the director of photography, Bill Koo, who I worked with on another film outside of that shoot, called me and a bunch of our other friends and got us together to do this music video for Rob. And it was just awesome fun. And he's such a talented artist.
Mm. Well, that's nice. I'm sure that I was going to say that I know that that was probably fun because I've heard most of the time, at least, that people that do the music videos, at least the ones that I know, that they have a lot of fun doing them. So did you get this thing in dance or what?
I did not sing. I did get some dance. We were in there. It was a scene at it was shot at a Irish pub, and we were in various stages throughout the bar. At some points we were sitting at tables, other times we were playing pool, which we actually got to play, and he was sitting there singing the whole time or just or playing his instrument in between shots just to sort of keep the music going, keep the fun going, and in between scenes he would come and talk to all of us and joke with us. A music video is just sort of a different atmosphere than it is with film, just because you have the added music right there on the spot, and it's a different mentality when you're doing a music video versus a film. I mean, in a sense, it's the same because your whole job of being there is to showcase a story and help showcase a story. But there's just a bit freer collaboration with music videos.
Yeah, I think
sometimes. Because they're more into what's best for the music, what showcases the music best, and they tend to more be open to helping the story grow. But that's not to say some directors aren't, because I have worked with a lot of directors that have been very open to collaboration and have been awesome with having insights from other people. So.
Well, this next one here, I don't know if I'm going to pronounce it right, but it was a TV series, The Broisodes. So I have no idea. I've never heard of it.
The Broisodes.
Broisodes. Oh, okay. Yeah.
The Broisodes, yes. A friend of mine, Anna Barbe, wrote The Broisodes. And in one of the episodes, she had a scene where the bros went to do try yoga. and so with me being avid with yoga, I do yoga a lot, and I absolutely love Anna. She's a very dear friend of mine. She invited me to come and be a part of that. It was just so much fun to be a part of one of her first breakout projects when she was trying to get herself back out there.
So you're like an avid yoga practicer or practitioner,
yes,
whatever.
Yes, I am very into taking care of yourself. I love doing yoga. I love doing the float deprivation tanks, you know, the huge tubs filled with Epsom salt. That was really fun. I do massage. I see a chiropractor regularly. You can never be too careful.
No, you can't. And there's nothing wrong with taking care of yourself, that's for sure. Now, this next one that I was going to ask you about, it's according to IMDb, you know, again, according to them, because sometimes they're not correct, as you said earlier in the show. It's supposed to be in post-production, Vampires in Virginia, and
yes.
in addition to being the actor, you operated the boom. So tell us all about that one. That should be interesting.
So Vampires in Virginia was written and directed by a friend of mine, Cahill Dote. We had met when he was president of the Virginia Production Alliance, which is the biggest film television networking hub in Virginia, for those that are trying to have any sort of avenues or get resources and network, that's the place to be. Is the Virginia Production Alliance. But we became friends over years, and as soon as he wrote the script, he invited me to come do the table read. So we did table reading for I think about a year, and then he started casting and shot the movie, and I came on about 2 months into filming, and I ended up acting in some of the parts. But in the scenes that I was not in, I held many hats on that show, on that movie. I helped run sound. I drove one of the actors back and forth to Norfolk because she was going to school at the time. So we really wanted her to still make her college classes while still being able to film. So she would sleep in the car while I would drive her back and go to school and do that sort of thing. Helped out the medics and crafty. Film set, because we were filming that movie for the better part of 10 months, we really became really, really good friends and family. I met my boyfriend Aiden there, and we've been together 6 years now. Cahill and I have been amazing friends since then. But along the way in post-editing, they have come across, you know, health issues with, you know, the editors and the DP and family issues, as always. So it's taken a while to get it all the way through editing and all the special effects and all that good stuff. But it is about vampires in Virginia, which is very fun, very bloody, very messy. But once it comes out, I'm pretty sure it's going to be really good.
Yeah, well, you know, things do take a long time sometimes. Even the big budget things sometimes will take 7-8 years because of different things that are going on, whether it be, you know, COVID or, you know, something else going on. Mm-hmm. And especially in the indie movies, because you got people doing 20 different jobs within one movie, and because they kind of have to, because they don't have anybody else, and or
right.
they don't have the money to pay somebody else. So they end up doing
right.
like what you just were saying. You were doing all those different jobs because they really didn't have the money to pay somebody else to do those other jobs.
Right.
So
and then there are also those
understand.
Times take breaks for family, school, take care of your health.
Right.
Go do other jobs that come in. Like, it's just that it's really a balancing act.
Right. Yeah, I understand all that, but there's a lot of people that seem to not understand that kind of thing. You know, movies just don't get made overnight, and if they did, they wouldn't be very good movies.
Exactly. I mean, I have seen some pretty good films that have been made in 48 hours, but maybe not overnight.
Well, yeah. Yeah, when I say overnight, I mean, like, you do it overnight expecting it to make a big thing at the theaters, you know, a big splash and make lots of money off of it.
Right.
No, when they do those 48-hour things, because I have several friends that they do those every year, and you know that it's not going to be, you're not really going to make money off of it. It's just so that people will see your work. Now, one of my friends, he regularly wins awards, and not that that's the biggest thing either. You don't have to win an award for your film to be good, but he's always winning awards. But one of the reasons is because he does give attention to detail, and sometimes just some
almost.
Of the stuff that goes
every time.
Well, yeah. Yeah, and he has a good attention to detail. He's a good director, and hopefully he's not listening, but I didn't say his name, so hopefully he won't know that I'm talking about him. Unless I say the name of one of the films, then he'd know. But he's not a very good actor. But he wants to put himself in – he always wants to put himself in his films. But that's okay because they're just going to the 48-hour film festival. And
right.
it's not like he's terrible. He's not a terrible actor. He's just like one of those ones that, okay, they're in school and they're in drama class and they're sophomores in the class. They haven't quite gotten to be a senior yet in the class. That's kind of what his acting is like. So I'm not going to say the name of any of his movies because then he'll know I'm talking about him. But I did want to ask you about Monsters and Mysteries in America. You did two episodes of that, so tell me and the listeners about that.
Okay. So the first one I got to do, it was also with Into and got to show on Discovery ID. I ended up having to drive out to this house in the middle of nowhere in Suffolk. And it was almost like driving out to the woods, but you have no idea where you're going, and it's pitch dark because my call time was 9 o'clock at night because we had to film overnight. And it was really, really cold. And I was a cheerleader that called – got mauled by and attacked by a werewolf. But it was really fun because I met this great director from New York, Christian Faber. He's such an amazing director because at lunch he was just sitting there with the rest of the crew and the actors and coming to each one of us and making sure we were okay and, you know, just letting us ask him whatever he wanted and got to know him really well. And a couple of my other friends that I'd known from high school, I got to reconnect with on that episode because I didn't know they were back in town and doing film. So our small little world circle back around together, and so that was great. And for the second one, it was also directed by Christian, and he let me know that he was coming back in town, and I believe they had someone drop out, and he and both my agent contacted me, letting me know that, you know, someone dropped out and Christian wanted me to come. And it was supposed to be about a man who became a zombie in Louisiana. And I was a bystander who happened upon him eating someone else or attacking someone else.
Ooh.
Pretty funny. It doesn't sound like it's funny, but zombie, or the person that was playing the zombie and the person that was playing the guy being eaten, all three of us had gotten to be good friends by the time we were on the set, and we had just been cracking jokes the entire time, and it was just such a good time to you know, be with my friends again and be with Christian and really get in with filming with them again, because they're always such top-notch people to work with.
Now, one thing that I did want to go over, and because we're getting a little low on time, not too bad, but a little low, and I did want to talk about it to make sure that we did, and then if there's time left, which there should be, then we'll talk about a couple more films. Now, you had told me that you're optioning some scripts to do your first feature or short under your own production company, Rebel Rose Productions. Now, do you already have that, like, well, not necessarily up and running, because it wouldn't be up and running until you actually start to work on what you said you're working on. But is most of it already in the works? Like, do you have a building? Do you have your
I do not have a building yet. I've been working from home on it, just because it's sort of indie at the moment. But it's something that I've been very passionate about doing for a while, because I feel really passionate about giving back and helping people. So I really wanted to have an avenue where I could choose the stories and I could choose to which, you know, things that I want to highlight. Like, I have a nephew who's autistic and really loves building things and really loves art and loves coming to sets with my dad or doing stuff like that. And he's always asking me questions about film and how the cameras work. And I want to be able to have an avenue to give back to those causes like autism, and also be able to have an avenue where I can invite special needs and people that wouldn't have the opportunity to do so, to come and have the opportunity to just have fun and create stories and, you know, learn a new thing that they wouldn't normally get. Just because I am more grounded around stories that mean the most to me, because I can't put my heart and soul in a that I don't like. I will not do
right.
it. Hands down. Or something that doesn't speak to me in a way that I can't pass up. I have to, like, the stories have to be special. They have to, you know, I have a friend of mine who is doing a film called The Bonfield Dixon. And it's about a troubled young boy and trying to, and going to this camp and getting his life back on track. And he gave me a call several months ago, actually, I think it was last year now, to come down for the weekend. He'd pay for my gas, and, you know, he'd pay me for the day. It wouldn't be much, but would I come down and help him film this movie? And just the way that he got so emotional talking about it, like, and the fact that it was my friend and it meant so much to him, like, hands down, I was like, I'll be in the car in half an hour. Like, when do you want me? Just because it is one of those moving stories that uplifts you and gives you hope and humanity again. Because it is one of those rejoicing stories. So Rebel Rose is going to be an avenue for that. I have a couple scripts that I'm reading right now to see which one that I want to do for my breakout role as producing with Rebel Rose Productions. I'm hoping to start filming possibly next year, after the new year.
And what movie, I know you don't know which one, but what genre do you think that you will use as your first feature or short, whichever you do?
That I actually don't know yet either. Just because I like well-rounded stories and I love genre hopping or genre mixing.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I've done music videos that are both happy and sad. I've done comedies. I've done, as you know, horror.
Right.
I've done sci-fi westerns.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but is that what that high noon means, high noon is?
No, that's just a straight-up Western.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. So go ahead with your thought. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I'm sorry.
I don't think when it comes down to choosing, I don't think genre will really play a factor. I think it's the story that touches my heart the most because I really want to do something that really speaks to me and something that really stands out for my first breakout role as a producer under my own company name.
Yeah, that's understandable.
So it's something that's got to have heart and character and, you know, just a really good story that just really travels well and comes across well. You know, it's one of those things that I know I'm going to know it when I find it, but I can't picture it yet, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I understand completely. It makes a lot of sense. Well, since I had already mentioned that high noon means high noon, go ahead and tell us about that one because we've got like a little over 5 minutes, so that's enough time to talk about that one.
One of the actors that did a lot of the old westerns in the, you know, the 60s and 70s and 80s built this. Built a western town in his backyard with like a full working saloon, and you know it's literally like stepping back in time. Everything's realistic, from the costumes to the saloons to the horses to, you know, just everything out there, because he does reenactments and all this good stuff. And a couple of my friends under Brain Code Productions had this idea for this Western, and it was cast by a bunch of my friends, and we took a weekend, I believe, maybe it was like 4 days actually, and went down and stayed at a hotel down the road to this place and got to have full reign of the sky's backyard and just go nuts. It was just incredible to be able to meet him and hear all these stories from him being on film sets from the 50s and 60s and seeing how and 70s and seeing how different it was, and also get to be in this authentic town and just experience that life for a bit and just step away and be a completely different person. Because it was a different world down there. As soon as she walked onto his property, it was a different world. So it was nice to step out of time and do that film.
Oh, sure.
The place is awesome. It's legendary. It gets tons of tourists. It's great. If you ever have a chance to go to Smithfield, North Carolina, you should look him up and go look at and go tour his backyard. It's fantastic.
Oh yeah, I'd love to do that kind of thing. I love going to any of those things that are from back in the old days, and they try to keep everything the way that it was before, and to keep people in contact with the past, because we should remember our past.
Yeah, and he was actually pretty fun. A guy named Wild Phil, and he has this. He actually brews his own booze concoction. It's sort of an apple pie shooter, and bottles it. The stuff is dangerous. I'm pretty sure we drank up his stock while we were there because it was just awesome, and he kept trying to ply us with it, and he signed bottles for everybody, but it was just so much fun, so much fun.
Well, I'm glad you had fun. That's always good to hear about nice experiences. So we're down to like 2 minutes, and what I like to do at this time usually is to have my guest, meaning you, to let people know what is the best way to contact you for whatever reason.
Really, catch me on Facebook or catch me on Instagram. I check them regularly, both for my day job and for family and for other work. Or they can email me. It's kind of a mouthful, but it's Tiffany.R.Armstrong@gmail.com. But yeah, catch me on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter. One of those guys.
Okay, so there you go, people. You can contact Tiffany Armstrong, soon to be Tiffany Rose, and maybe offer her a job. Sorry,
yes,
I just
that
had
would
to
be
throw
greatly
that
appreciated. Thank you. I appreciate it.
So is there anything that you'd like to say in closing? We've got like 60 seconds.
No, just thank you for having me. It's been a blast having a chat with you and getting to talk about film. I love what I do, and we get amazing opportunities, and we're very lucky to get what we do, to get to do what we do. So thank you for giving me the chance to talk about it and spread my stories.
Oh, yeah. Hey, you know, I love doing this. The reason why that I do this is to help out my friends, to at least hopefully, because people will hear about them and their new projects and, you know, so on and so forth. So thank you very much for being on the show, Tiffany Armstrong. And I'm going to have to close out because otherwise they will go ahead and cut us off if I don't.
Thanks, Mac.
Yeah, enjoy your evening. And I'm going to say, oh, thank you. Okay, bye.
Bye.